Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, mm-hmm. where we talk about all things embarrassing. Mm-hmm. We want to laugh with you. We want to share with you. We want to get vulnerable and have fun. So that's why we're here.
Yes.
And we hope that's why you're here too. I'm Katie.
I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red.
Tell me about your week.
Oh,
how was it?
Best part of the week has been that my son slept through the night.
That's amazing. That is no small feat.
That was like going out to a show, like going out afterwards, dancing all my night away. That all combined into like the same feeling as when my son slept through the night.
Yeah.
What about you?
What about me? This week, we're in the throes of Christmas coming up and all the shopping and getting things done.
Doing your stuff.
So yeah, it has been a whirlwind and I'm tired, but I'm here.
You look great.
You don't look tired for one second. They can't see me, so
Okay, well, you're gorgeous. You're beautiful.
You are. No. Okay, so let's do it. Let's get into it. Let's tell some embarrassing stories.
Let's do it. Okay, so I have one from my life.
Yeah.
I got a vault full of embarrassing stories.
I love your stories.
I'm just reaching in there, dipping.
They're my favorite.
So I lived in New York and I was waiting tables. And I was waiting tables at this little restaurant that I have blocked the name out of, but it was on Commerce Street. I think it's called 50 now. It was a hellhole and I hated it.
What kind of food?
Like fancy American food,
okay.
You know, like
continental
$70 chicken for two, you know.
Nice. Back then, today's money, that's worth $140.
Way back then, that was like 50 cents for a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
So I worked there and I was working a brunch for Father's Day. And this big party came in. And now a little bit of backstory of the restaurant. The chef had a loaded shotgun next to the door of his office, which was in the basement.
What?
Yeah.
That's not appropriate.
Loaded shot. Oh, no. But
a loaded shotgun that anyone could access?
I mean, yeah. It was just like propped up like he would go like he was living in some state that he could just go out on the porch and shoot a coyote. Like he just put the shotgun outside of his door.
And he was like, if the servers don't do a good job, I'm coming around.
Basically, you had to shuffle by the shotgun. If you did a really bad job and get bitched out at the end of the night, he'd rip you a new one if you like didn't sell that chicken. Or if you did
well.
That
would not fly today.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Well, and then that's the thing. The side note is that I asked him about the shotgun and I said, why do you have a loaded shotgun? And he was like, trust no one.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
That's scary.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That makes me feel safe.
Thanks. I'll go just happy Father's Day. And I'm just, so I'm loading up my tray of mimosas and this guy who's, you know, clearly the dad of the group, I wanted to start with him. Because, you know, it's his day. So I walk over there and like, obviously I'm on edge. I'm on edge at this place no matter what.
This is Father's Day?
This is Father's Day brunch.
Oh, wow. Father's Day brunch. Not as exciting as Mother's Day brunch, but
still has a turnout. There's a different vibe, right? Like the guys are like, oh, they live like a quiet pride and like vulnerability, but like sort of like, yeah, I provide, you know, this is me. Mm-hmm, like I'm taking my family out. Oh my God, that was so misogynist. Maybe the woman was paying. Who knows?
But I didn't get
to that part because neither of them paid because of what I did. So I walk over the table and I was like, happy Father's Day to the dad. He's like, looked at me in the eye and says, thank you. And I was like, no. Thank you for being such a good dad. But I'm telling you, before I could finish saying that, I dropped the plate of the tray on his head.
No.
Yeah. I heard a glass clink into his skull
of his
mimosa. And he was just dunked in orange juice and booze.
And an entire tray of mimosas.
And like six of them.
Oh,
it was like,
no.
It was like
a cartoon.
And I just luckily did not get buckshot right in the butt immediately. I kept my job, but we comped their bill. And I was just like humiliated.
What did he do?
He looked. I'm trying to like compare it to something. So, you know, when you like try to cross the street and there's a car coming and you almost get killed. You jump back up at the curb and you're like, oh my God.
When you're actually Frogger, like
you
going
are,
across the street.
You could be killed instantly. Yeah. That's what he looked like. He was like, and his whole car.
Deer in headlights.
Everyone got so silent. And I just.
Did the glasses break?
Oh yeah.
So
shattered.
Did he have any bloody shards?
No.
Around?
I mean, we got shivved in the gut. It was a mortal wound.
At least you didn't. you know,
at least I didn't really mortally wound him. Yeah. Well, I kind of did though. He had like clunked. I've never heard a louder crack. I swear, he had a concussion.
No.
But you know, you magnify things in your mind when you when it's something really bad happens. You think it's worse than it is.
And orange juice is so sticky.
Yeah, and it's booze. You smell like booze. He wore that outfit because it's a Father's Day outfit. He like specifically put it on and was feeling himself, and I just ruined it.
What did the rest of the table do? Did they scowl at you? Did they laugh? Were they?
There was this collective like, oh, you know, and like it was a chorus of like, hey, the, oh, and then they gave me the stinky one eye like the rest of the
And you had meal. To wait on them the
100%.
Rest of the 100%. I think I would have given the table away. I would have been like, nope, somebody no, somebody else needs to take
I'm surprised
now.
They wanted me to wait on them. They yeah. Were, one of them was really nice. You know what I mean? There's always that one
You're
person.
So sweet though. I'm sure you were super apologetic. You probably took it and like dumped it on your own head. You're like, see, now I'm wet too.
I'm like, throw this at me. No, throw the shard at me. Throw the glass shard at me. I don't care. No, I mean, there's always that one person that's just like, oh my God, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's so fine. It's my dad, but it's
Thank
okay.
Thank God for those people.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. I try to be one of those at restaurants. I probably would have laughed if someone dunked my dad with mimosas. I would have just like laughed because it's so shocking.
After you get over the initial gasp and like seeing that they're fine, then yeah, I would imagine everybody laughed.
Yeah,
but I guess
I
not.
Just feel like I always have to have that one little like, what do they call it? Riz. You got some riz.
You got that riz.
I had that riz being like, no, you're a great dad. And I just like fell off balance and like slammed him in the head with six glasses of mimosas. So that's yeah, that was really great. Embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
A That's a good one.
But I kept my job, thankfully.
Thankfully, and you didn't get shot. All
no.
right.
No. Okay.
So I have an email. Okay. My first email is from Savannah, and she writes, in my 20s, I lived in Los Angeles and worked in the entertainment industry, so I made a lot of friends in the business and got invited to some cool events. Every Halloween, this movie producer would throw an epic party with the best costumes, decorations, food, and drinks. It was the party to go to, and it was my favorite event of the year. Tell us who it is.
I want to know who was there.
Who is it? Okay, we don't get to know. That's fine. This was my fourth year going, and it wasn't my first rodeo, and I decided that it was time I stepped it up. I wanted to stand out and be unique, so I chose Tippi Hedren from The Birds. I scoured vintage shops for the perfect 60s outfit. I bought a blonde wig. I spent days on my costume. I ripped it in places with scratch and peck marks. I covered myself in fake scratches and blood and even added some feathers and some crows perched on me and attacking. It was a masterpiece, and I was really proud of how it turned out.
Oh my gosh,
that is
that
such
is
a good
great
costume,
costume.
Right?
It's
I know,
so
I'm like,
specific.
I need to do that. It's so
like,
good.
Noted.
File that away. Yeah. Yeah. These days they'll be like, what are you? Like, they won't know what movie it is. yeah. That's amazing. Okay. I went with a friend of mine, and the way it worked for the party, you had to drive to a location and park and get dropped off, then be picked up and shuttled to the actual party.
That's fun.
The address wasn't given out, and it was very exclusive.
Who was it?
I have been to one of those parties before, but it wasn't this person.
Nice.
No. I was getting a migraine and starting to feel really sick. So even though I never take anything, my friend gave me a Vicodin to alleviate
no.
the pain. Ooh.
Not a good start to the
that's
night.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
That's not an Advil.
Especially if she's going to plan on drinking. Anyway, go ahead.
Thankfully, it worked, and the moment I stepped into the house, all of my pain was gone because everyone was oohing and aahing over my costume.
Yes.
I had done it. I was the hit of the party. I was on top of the world.
Yes.
This house was so beautiful. I can't stress that enough. The floors, the decor, immaculate. There were two open floors where guests were milling about, hors d'oeuvres were being passed, and drinks were flowing. There were champagne trays as well as three bartenders in different areas. On the second floor, there was a gorgeous balcony overlooking the courtyard, and the outside was just as perfectly manicured as the inside. I was laughing, talking, flirting, mingling, answering questions about my outfit, and even getting some networking in, too. So far, this was turning out to be my favorite year ever.
Oh, my God.
That would soon change.
Oh, no.
There's always got to come a low
yeah,
with
there's
the
always
eye.
Got a little there's, bit of a twist.
There's always got to be something. Okay, let's see what's going to happen.
What happens? There's a curve in the road.
There's a curve in the road. On my costume high, I'd had a few drinks and wasn't thinking about how it was mixing with the Vicodin I'd
Not
taken
good.
Earlier. Suddenly, I felt really dizzy and awful. I headed to the balcony to get some fresh air. There were a few people smoking on the balcony, and that made it even worse. Before I could stop it, I was suddenly leaning over the balcony and barfing my brains out.
Oh, no.
So, been there, girl. Suddenly,
oh,
I heard
people below
screams
her.
From down below.
Oh, God.
I looked down and realized that I had just thrown up all over the beautiful food buffet.
No, that is terrible.
I'm sure some of you had splattered on nearby people. I was mortified.
That is terrible.
On the food. And you know that was expensive food. That was a beautifully catered scene.
And that is like what people go to eat the whole night.
They are there for the food. They can vomit all over.
That's disgusting. The buffet. And not to mention the caterers.
And the people. Can you imagine being down there grabbing some food on your plate and then just suddenly there's just puke coming down? Poor girl, this is horrible.
She's like, that's not invited back.
That is mortifying.
That is. Okay. That really is.
Everyone was scrambling and screaming and yelling how gross it was, and all I could think to do was run. I grabbed my friend and told her we needed to leave immediately and raced out of the party as fast as I could. I didn't even know where I was because a shuttle had taken us there, so I had to wait to be picked back up as they were coming and going every 15 minutes. My friend and I hid behind a bush waiting for the shuttle, and I cried about what had just happened. This was my
That's funny. She's crying in the bush because she barfed all over the buffet.
It's horrible.
That's so horrible. Funny.
This was my last year attending, but now I think it's pretty hilarious. It is. That's a good story, though.
It is a great story.
I mean, you can never go back, and I just wonder, know who you are. Like, you can't go back.
Right.
Like,
no.
You made a point of standing out.
You're like Juliet on the balcony.
Everyone's
like, where is that coming from? And it's just you.
You specifically put together the best outfit costume. There. You won Halloween, yeah. And then you ruined it in the same thing. You're like, that
and you
bike
lost
it in.
Everything.
You lost everything. You're like, okay, everybody noticed me. I've stood out. I yep. am the peacock here at the party, mm-hmm. and then the peacock barfed.
And then the movie of the birds is ruined for everyone because that's all they can see is this like green barf coming out of like Tippi Hedren.
Oh, it's such a good story.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is a great one. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
It's really bad.
Oh, I bet the host was so pissed.
Can you imagine?
No. Yeah, I can't. I would have cried too, honestly.
Yeah,
I
would have
been in the bushes just crying.
It's humiliating. Yikes.
I love that. Side note, I love that when something really embarrassing happens, it makes you cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it is humiliating. Yeah.
Okay, so this is from Derek in Illinois, and he writes, I was in a production of The Full Monty in Chicago and we were in Tech Week. If you don't know the show, it's about an unemployed steelworker who owes a lot of child support, so he creates a male striptease act where they show their full junk.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I don't know the story, show, and now I guess I need to watch it.
Blue collar steelworkers.
Oh, wait, no, The Full Monty. Yes, I have seen that. I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the movie was a hit, and then they made it into a musical.
I've seen the movie.
So there's a scene when my character is strip-teasing, and at the end of the song, we take it all off as the lights go out, hence the full Monty. Again, it was Tech Week, and we had sort of a potluck situation where the cast brought food for each other during this very difficult week. I discovered that one of the cast members had brought meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy to feed the cast with. It was really nice of that person. I gobbled up two pieces as I scurried around. Then we were about to perform the strip scene, and I had tighty whities on, and I felt a huge gurgle in my stomach.
No.
Before I could even move, I shit my
pants. No! On the stage?
That's right. I filled my tighty whities. No, it wasn't on stage. Luckily, I was in the bathroom, and I ran into a stall. That would have been so funny if it was on stage.
Oh, my God.
No, but I guess he was in the bathroom, so I, of course, threw me undies away and began cleaning myself up when I heard places in five. So I finished cleaning as best I could and ran out naked to my costume, which was a thong, and the rest of the clothes that I strip off. Someone in that cast made me shit my pants, and I spent the whole run of the show trying to figure out who it was. I performed.
Did you think it was on purpose? He's like, somebody has a vendetta against me. They put Visine in the meatloaf.
I just think the instant poop is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have any notice. You're just like, oh, it's here.
No,
I
that's a horrible. And in tighty whities, like, there's no hiding that.
Oh, my God. He wrote, I performed that number in my thong knowing that I had just pooped my pants and that my butt cheeks might still be brown. I got through it and no one said anything and I haven't had meatloaf since. Oh, disgusting.
Meatloaf.
Disgusting. And also those costume people.
Oh, God. Were they his own tighty whities?
I don't
part
know.
Of the costume?
I mean,
they're
I'm
like,
sure they
we're missing some tighty whities for you.
Oh, God.
Do you know where those are?
Yeah. What happened to your
check
tighty
the
whities?
Trash.
It was the meatloaf. Did you make the meatloaf? Oh.
Mm,
God. Ugh.
That's rough. At least it didn't happen on stage.
I know. Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Thank God.
That's one of those, like, you don't get invited back parties.
Thank God for that.
They're like, and your understudy's going on permanently.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a good one next.
Yay. The first one was great. Jeez. Yeah.
Okay. This one is pretty funny. All right. Our next email is from Karen in Michigan, and she writes, my boyfriend and I have been together for a year, and for our anniversary, he planned a romantic surprise date. He told me to wear a bathing suit and dress comfortably. He took me to Lake Michigan, where he'd rented a canoe and had flowers and a picnic ready for me.
Beautiful.
It was so cute and thoughtful. I'd never been on a canoe, so I was a little nervous, but also excited. We headed out on the canoe with our picnic and paddled to a spot where there were less people. We ate lunch and we were having a great time. Have you been on a canoe?
Yes.
Have you been on a canoe? Yeah, canoes are sturdy. They're not like a kayak. Like a kayak's a lot scarier. I feel like you can like flip over and that a lot easier. Like
and you
a canoe's
get wet
like a little
instantly
boat.
In a kayak.
Like, yeah. Suddenly, I realized I had to poop.
No.
There was no another poop. See, back-to-back poop stories. Here we go. There was no holding it back, and it needed to happen now. I don't know why I did what I did to this day, but I told my boyfriend to jump out of the canoe and swim to shore.
What? Why? She pooped in the canoe?
I told him I had to go and he couldn't watch me. Reluctantly, he agreed. In hindsight, I don't know why I didn't jump out of the boat or maybe try to go in the water if I couldn't make it
she
to the shore.
She had a bathing suit on.
But instead, I decided to poop in the canoe.
She pooped in the canoe?
She pooped in the canoe. Yes, that's
that
right.
That is not.
I pulled down my shorts and bathing suit and I pooped right on the floor of the canoe.
Oh my God.
I was relieved to be done, but now I had a new problem. The poop.
What the poop.
Was I to do with this poop? So what would you do with the poop?
I would literally jump out of the canoe, like flip the canoe over, let it sink to the bottom of the ocean or
okay,
wherever you are, and then I would swim back to shore.
That's hilarious. You guys have similar mindsets.
No, did she do that?
I would not. I would figure out a way to get it out of the boat, I think.
Ew.
So it's she did smell. The only logical thing at the time. Turns out not logical at all, but at the time, it was all I could think of because we were going to have to turn the rented canoe back
okay.
in.
Okay.
No. I jumped out and capsized the canoe.
Yes.
Along with my poop, though, the flowers and picnic basket and all of the contents went into the water to never be seen again.
I'm sorry, but I would break up with that person in one second.
That is hilarious.
Did you break up with her?
I swam to shore and told my boyfriend we'd have to tell the rental place we fell out and they'd have to retrieve the capsized canoe. I was so embarrassed.
That is so embarrassing.
And he was in shock with what had just happened, but it actually made us closer and we still laugh about it because it was so absurd. I blame temporary insanity from fear and panic. But you had that same reaction. See, I would never think to flip the canoe over.
You have your poop in there.
I know, but like figure out a way to scoop it out, I guess. Like you don't want to touch
still
it. But
like skid marks in the canoe.
But maybe
stinks.
You can get some like water because you're in water. So like get some water. There's probably napkins from the picnic basket. I think I would take napkins and like put it out and then try to clean it.
Just
maybe
the idea
it was
that
really
this
runny.
Guy
I don't
went
know.
To, oh.
But then she's like, get out of the boat and swim to shore. I have to poop is the funniest thing. She didn't even try to like make up an excuse for why. Like, oh, I got a surprise for you or whatever. She was like, I
she's
have
like,
to poop.
I'm
like, get
poop.
Out of the boat. I love that kind of closeness and honesty, to be honest. Like,
I do too.
That's great.
But also, he made a picnic and she ruined, like, she. It's it
the
did,
picnic and the flowers the are floating in the water with poop
with
and the basket and all the cuteness. There was probably like a cute picnic blanket. All of it gone. But first of all, okay, so I think I would have jumped in the water and pooped in the water if you couldn't make it back to shore, right? I think that would be the move.
Yeah, so here's what I do.
You've done this.
I say turn around. No, this is what happens if I'm in the situation. I say turn around and keep your face facing forward.
You would poop with him in the...
I would jump out of the boat.
Okay.
I would poop in the water.
Okay.
Then I would swim back to shore.
Then I would swim away and never
without
be heard
telling
from
him
again.
To turn around.
I know. I think I would try to go in the water.
You would think I'd drown.
But who knows? Maybe it was obviously a very panicky situation.
I would let him think I drowned and I would never talk
to him
again.
That's it.
Yeah.
And he's still looking for you to this day.
Yeah. He files like a police report. They drag the river.
But I kind of love that she was like, it's all going down. I'm capsizing the canoe. It's all over.
Your
like,
picnic? Fucked.
Ruined. It's good. It's really good.
It's really good.
It's a good story.
That's really
And they got closer from it. That's beautiful.
See,
that is beautiful.
So creative. I mean, honestly, there's so many. It's almost as if embarrassment is a character, and it comes into your life and just like does these really elaborate plant like pranks on you.
Most of them are all bodily functions. As we're
they make you poop your pants on canoes and shows. Oh my god, that is so funny.
What you got next?
Okay, this is from Lindsay from Pennsylvania. All right. She says, this story is a double whammy. It has two embarrassing moments.
Ooh. All right. I love a double whammy.
A little domino effect. I was 33 and visiting my mom for the holidays. I'm ashamed to admit that at that time, when I would visit my mom, I still went to my old doctor for checkups. My mom arranged everything and went with me to the checkup.
That's cute. Honestly, I'm into that. I loved my like pediatrician growing up. If I could still have her now, that would be incredible.
I know.
I love that.
I think that like it sounds like this was the person who knew her. Like the doctor knew her.
I think that's sweet. Yeah.
And her mom went, which is really cute. So my mom arranged everything and went with me to the checkup, and this is embarrassing already. So I go into my doctor, and he has an assistant there, a medical student doing an internship, and he asks me if it's all right if that person does the checkup for practice. And I say, no problem. So the first thing we do is go and draw blood for my routine blood work. The medical student is really hot, and we're sort of flirting while he draws my blood. And when it's done, we go and he asks me a bunch of questions. Oh, you know, those questions like the questionnaire that they do.
I do not ever want a hot doctor. Get away from me. Like, no, thank you. Like, I don't want it. Why? I had a hot chiropractor once and I'm like, this is too much. Like, it's just not, I don't want it. Like,
your back leg is super tense.
It's like, I don't want that. I don't want to talk to a hot doctor. Okay. I want an ugly doctor.
Yeah.
I want somebody that I can tell my deepest, darkest secrets to of the gross things happening in my body. I don't want to tell it to a hot person.
No, I hear you. Yeah, you're right. Because then you have to say, no
hot doctors.
I'm bleeding out of my butt.
Yeah. Goodbye.
So
I am an anal fissure hot doctor. How do I fix it? Gross.
Katie's so specific.
Well, you said bleeding anal out of fissure. Your butt.
Oh my God. You like ER'd that. You're like, we got an anal fissure. Stat. Okay. So they start filling out this questionnaire. And when he asks if I had multiple partners, I made it a point to pause and stare at him and say, yes. To which he paused visibly and stared at the questionnaire. When that's done, he says, all right, let's take that blood pressure. And he puts the armband around the arm he's just taken blood from. And when he pumped it up, I'm not kidding, my bandage exploded off and blood squirted everywhere.
What?
It was in his face. It got on my clothes. It got on his collar. And we were both surprised and I felt sick. Oh, so they took blood, put the bandage on, and then he took the pressure, the blood pressure from the same arm.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
He is fired.
He is a dumb hot doctor. Yeah. Okay, what are you doing? You got to take the blood pressure first or do the other arm. That's crazy.
Other arm.
I have never heard of that. Yeah,
oh,
that's
my God.
Wild.
So we're both surprised, felt sick. He was flustered and went and got my doctor, who apologized profusely. The rest of the exam went fine, but when I walked out, I saw the color drain from my mom's face. Go right, because his mom's or her mom's still there. She saw the blood, and I told her what happened. And this is where it gets more embarrassing.
Oh, no.
A few days later, I got a call from the doctor's office, and they put me through right to my doctor. He said, I want to apologize to you personally for what happened. We heard from your mom. She was very upset, and I'm so sorry for any discomfort we've caused you. As I hung up, I realized that my mom had called and bitched out the doctor.
No.
So humiliating.
That is embarrassing.
Oh, it's like,
because she's too old for that.
33 years old. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's crazy, right?
Mm-mm.
It's nuts. I mean, I don't know. I think my mom would do the same thing. My mom would have done it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, did you have a protective mom?
Like, I did. Very overprotective. My mom definitely would have. She was super overprotective.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom once ran out. I came home late from babysitting and she ran out and like yelled at the dad. It was like 2 a.m. She's like, she is not supposed to be out like this.
Aww,
embarrassing.
That's pretty late. Okay. All right. I have another one.
Okay.
Okay. This next email is from Chastity in New Jersey, and she writes, I was 15 and going on my first date ever with a boy I'd had a crush on for a year. We'll call him Jake. It was a double date. My best friend was going to go with his friend on a date too, so that helped my anxiety. My best friend came over to my house first, and we tried on several outfits, but I finally decided on my favorite white jeans and a striped tank top. I curled my hair, put on some lipstick, and I was ready to go. So cute. First date. Adorable. 15 years old. Okay. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Jake and his friend picked us up, and we headed to the movies. The movie was Independence Day, a blockbuster, so it was packed at the theater. We missed the previews, and it was already dark when we got into the theater, but we still managed to get decent seats. I didn't really care about the movie, and we made out most of the time anyway, so I wasn't really watching. As the movie ended, Jake took my hand, and we walked out into the brightly lit lobby. Suddenly, some young boys started laughing hysterically behind us and making fart sounds and said, "Ew, you pooped yourself," and pointed at me. I turned bright red and said, "What are you talking about?" Jake turned to look at my butt, and my best friend grabbed my arm and said, "We should go to the bathroom now." Now I was really freaking out.
No.
She tried to walk behind me and cover my butt. When I looked in the mirror, I saw two brown spots and smears on the butt crack of my white jeans. I hadn't pooped myself, but I did sit on someone else's old milk duds.
That stinks. Oh, God. I was like, just struck with horror.
She thought she like pooped herself and didn't know for a second.
Oh.
We tried to clean it up, but it didn't work that well, and I had to go back out and tell Jake what happened. The worst part was it felt like he didn't believe me, and things were awkward after that. So it was our first and last
date.
That's
funny. That's actually so funny.
That's so embarrassing. Like, that's so mean too. Like little kids behind you like laughing and saying you pooped yourself.
Yeah, that's like a little
and you're
forward.
Like, wait, what? And her favorite white jeans.
Yeah, but
chocolate
you know what?
Stains.
At least they, oh, it does. It never comes out, especially if you
I've done that before. If you sat on like I've sat on like raisinettes, yeah. like milk duds, like people's yeah. stuff that they like leave in the seats.
Or you're eating chocolate and it falls down there and you don't know and it's a hot car and then you're like, oh God. The coffee.
And then you look like you pooped yourself.
And then you look like you pooped yourself and you have to throw your jeans away. Oh, that's so
first
sad.
Date though, that's rough.
I love that he didn't believe her. He was like, oh really? Okay.
It's like yeah. Well, you already put some water and tried to clean it up. So
well, you know, it depends. Wait, what grade was that?
She's 15.
So I feel like at that age,
9th, 10th grade.
If word got around that you or a girlfriend pooped yourself at the movies, it doesn't matter if it wasn't true. You still have to weather
He's
that
like,
storm with her.
I have to distance
her.
Myself from
He's
you.
He's like, this is a PR nightmare.
Wow. This is a milk dud nightmare.
I mean, I can't take poo-poo pants to the prom.
That's so terrible, this poor girl. That's her fault, and it was dark in the movie theater when she sat down.
It's not fair. Also, shame on you, guy who leaves your milk yes. duds on the seat. Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you, buddy. You
know, what? Check your seat before you leave the
Nobody
theater.
Nobody does that.
What was everyone your mother? Huh? Come on. Amazing. Okay. Well, this is my last story.
Okay.
So I think it's going to go out with a bang.
Mm.
All right. So from Lauren in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Ooh, we got another Canadian listening. I love
in
it.
Canada.
I love that.
All right.
We love our Canadians. Our Canadian
I do
friends.
Love Canadians.
Yeah, they're the best.
They are. They're like so nice. Okay. It was the 1980s and I was in high school. Okay. So Lauren's a little older. I got a job modeling minks for a local shop. There was a runway.
Like and, mink fur?
Like mink fur.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was the 80s.
It was probably. The 80s. That was the time.
Like a minx, like just full on like, ooh, wow, soprano minx. There was a runway and it was a fun job. The lights were hot and the mink coats were heavy. And so the girls only wore stockings and bras under our coats. Oh my gosh, stockings. So like pantyhose.
Pantyhose, yeah.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we wear tights.
Now it's tights. Well, it was tights when we were five, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so when it came time for my walk, Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel came on.
Ooh, good
Ooh,
one.
That's such a good yeah. song. And I sort of bopped along down the runway. I was emboldened by the song, and people seemed to be enjoying my moves. And I was swishing all around and turning. I pranced down and up the runway. People seemed to love it, and I was glad I could show my carefree personality, and hopefully it helped sales. Sorry, that's funny.
I love that. I'm like picturing Sledgehammer playing, and she's just going bananas.
With her mink coat on.
Yeah.
When I got off stage, the manager told me that there was a slit in the coat in the back, and that whenever I swished, my whole butt was exposed. That audience saw my whole butt.
Oh,
so
man.
I flashed my whole butt in the faces of the mink buying crowd. Oh, I was not asked loved back it. The following year.
Oh.
I wonder if that did help sales. You know what I mean? Because you think about minks and you're like, oh, they're covering me because it's cold out and I'm just going to wear this, you know, animal on my body. But if you're somebody who's like selling it like, hey, you can show your whole butt too.
You can wear nothing underneath. You can show nothing. Your butt.
Also, Sledgehammer is such a funny song to play it down, is. The, down the
That's
runway.
That's hilarious. That like she's like flashing her butt yeah. to Sledgehammer.
That is really
great.
Funny. It's yeah, that is embarrassing though.
Yeah, that is.
So what if your grandma came down and was like, I'm going to support my granddaughter.
I'm going to buy a fur. Yeah. That's not fun.
No.
That's not fun for anyone. Oh, right. This email is from Christina in New York, and she writes, I went through a real hoe phase in my early 20s. Don't judge me, or do. I don't care. This isn't my real name anyway. I met this guy, Eric, out at a bar, and we had one of those perfect magical movie nights that you think don't exist in real life until you experience it for yourself. I wasn't looking to settle down at all, but this guy was checking all of the boxes. He was handsome, funny, tall, so witty and smart, and we were having a great time. We laughed all night. He seemed genuine and like he really wanted to get to know me. He asked if I wanted to get out of there and grab some late night food, and I did.
Aww.
It was a hot summer night, and as we left the bar, there was a grassy area with sprinklers on, and he said he'd love to get me wet with a mischievous look in his eye. I laughed, and he grabbed my hand, and we ran through the sprinklers feeling alive and invigorated. That is like so magical.
That is magical.
That is some movie
Slow
magic.
Slow motion, just sprinkling.
Right? And girl, we ain't judging your hoe phase. We all had a hoe phase in our early 20s.
Yep.
You know, that's what it's for. That's what your 20s are for, people. Hoe it up. Okay.
Unless you are married and you just love your one time.
Maybe don't hoe it up. Okay. It was around 2 a.m. and we went to a diner and had breakfast and talked about our lives, our siblings, our hopes and dreams, all of it. It really was the perfect date that wasn't even a date. He insisted on paying for my meal. I was so attracted to him and I didn't want the night to end, so I asked why it had to. He invited me back to his place and we had some of the best sex of my life. I think because we had such a great connection and it felt like more than just sex. I started to imagine what it would be like if he was my boyfriend as I drifted off to sleep in his arms. Magical night.
This is a great night.
Well, we know it's going to take a turn.
Oh, no. I know. I wish, what if it's just the end of the story?
And that's that. That and was my
there was no embarrassing story.
Yeah. That's not how this show goes, though, is it?
It isn't.
Around 6 a.m., I woke up and I really had to pee. I went to the bathroom and to my horror, I realized that I had started my period last night.
No.
I had fallen asleep naked and was covered in blood.
Oh, God.
I tried to clean myself up in the bathroom and I didn't even have a tampon, so I wadded up toilet paper and I got dressed. I went to go lift the sheet up in bed where Eric was still sleeping to check if I had gotten any in the bed. I held my breath and slowly lifted the sheet to reveal what can only be described as a crime scene.
Oh, no!
The bed was covered in blood, and I was too embarrassed to face Eric. We didn't even have each other's phone numbers. I quickly and quietly let myself out of his apartment.
That is not okay.
And I hailed a cab
home.
I never saw him again. I often wonder what he must have thought when he woke up.
He thought she was brutally murdered.
Did he wonder if he murdered me and disposed of my body? Was he completely disgusted? Now that I'm older and more mature, I know it's a natural thing, and I would have just talked to him about it, even though it's embarrassing, and would have gotten him new sheets and maybe even been his girlfriend.
That's like Cinderella, but like from hell.
From hell.
That is that was her future. That was her future.
That
right
was
there.
Her husband.
That was like roll out the red carpet to the rest of your life, and yeah. You're gonna just get in a cab and never see that person again.
She couldn't face him. I mean, she couldn't face him.
He thought he merged. I mean, he probably literally is not the same person he was the day before
like,
that.
She's dead.
He never dated again, probably. Yeah. He probably never.
He didn't trust himself. He's like, what if I'm like secretly a serial killer and I'm like, yep. I have multiple personalities and I don't even know it?
Probably. What if
he ended up in a mental hospital.
Oh, just checked in and never checked out. That's terrible.
That's so sad.
That's the worst wake up call ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Oh,
poor girl.
What
though.
Could be? But you know what? Oh, it's Eric's probably his fake name too, right?
Yep.
Hey, Eric. Wink, wink.
If
you're
you
listening
this,
to this,
that's what happened.
She loved you.
She loved you. She loved you in that 24 hours you spent together. And She's sorry. And they're probably both married and moved on by now.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know what, Eric? It happens to all of us girls.
It's too much to face.
He would have understood.
Yeah, but that is really embarrassing. I get it.
I think he would have understood. That guy was run through the sprinklers guy would have been like, let me clean this up and you go put your feet up in the bath. He would have.
I don't know if he would have gone that far.
He would have been let me carry you to the bath and I will put your beautiful body into the bath while I do all the cleaning and the cooking.
Your beautiful bloody body.
Your beautiful bloody butt right into those suds.
Yeah, that's rough. Oh, that's rough, though. Yeah, that's hard. That's a hard one.
Yeah. That's like getting a rip in your outfit or something. Like I'm going to think about that. I'm just going to think about that. This was sad.
So that's our show for today. I hope you laughed with us and cried with us, all the things.
And if you liked this, you should rate, review, and subscribe.
It helps us move up the charts. We really appreciate it. Tell a friend. And if you have an embarrassing story of your own, please share it with us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear it. And, you know, if you can't beat them,
join them.
Bye-bye.